Well, good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
I never really thought that I would have the experience of coming to church and enjoying an empty house. But it was good just to walk through the church doors this morning.
Amen.
And of course, the worship team is here and they're scattered across the sanctuary. And we're glad you're on the parking lot today. And anyone that might be listening in, we welcome you. Listen, if you haven't done this already, you need to get on Messenger or Facebook or email, get a card, and write a card to Pastor Dave and Debbie and tell them that you appreciate their leadership during these very, very difficult times. For that matter, all of our leadership are, not just our pastors, but and particularly Pastor David, but our deacons and other individuals that have been brought into a new kind of leadership during a unique time in our country. And they need your support, they need your love, they need your appreciation. And I want to encourage you to take time to do that this week. I know some of you have, and it's appreciated. Some of you have dropped Barb and I cards, and we've appreciated that. Just little expressions that have been very encouraging and very helpful during what has been an interesting time, to say the very least. We have all made an unexpected journey over the last 6 or 7 weeks. Nothing in February could have prepared us for this massive speeding freight train in March called COVID-19. And I assure you that none of us will soon forget the spring or the summer of 2020. But I am hoping I remember 2020 and the pandemic for more, much, much more than the darkness that momentarily engulfs the world. I want to remember this time and this part of my life's journey as a period during which I discovered important and helpful things about myself, a time of new understanding, new self-understanding, a time of introspection. This entire experience has, for all of us, provoked moments when our spirit, our souls, and our emotions have been exposed, and we have seen elements of ourselves that we've never seen before. The soul and core of our essential humanity is exposed, brazenly exposed. The things that honestly seemed most important are placed on the scales of self-judgment, and we find out in short order where priorities lie. There are some things about the education of a pandemic that can help us. And for just a few minutes, I want to talk about just a couple of those things. First of all, we certainly, as mentioned, learn the truth about our hidden selves. Parts of us are always hidden, hidden from view, hidden from the examination of other people. I think this is why the psalmist David asked God to cleanse him from his secret faults or his secret sins, because there are just those things that we hide in our humanity. We either intentionally hide things, or in time and over the period of the trial, we gain new insight and clarity about things that we really never understood about ourselves before. At any rate, we tend to go through life partially blinded to who we really are. And that's commonplace, if not endemic, of the human condition. And then suddenly, life happens. Something we don't want, something we can't stop, A terrifying and ghostly apparition frightens us and threatens us or those that we love, and now circle our lives like a pack of angry wolves. Have you noticed that in these moments or times of emotional confusion and fear, we sometimes come into contact with aspects, the deeper aspects of our inner selves, aspects of our hearts and our minds that indeed we have not seen, we have not cared to look at in other times. And this is why it is important that we recognize that God can be in the storm. Now, unlike human beings, God does not waste time. And God will not waste this pandemic. Now, God did not cause it. God did not send it. But He will utilize and allow this dark moment in the history of our personal lives to allow us to enter into new periods of self-understanding and insights that maybe we've never had before. And here's what I mean. God is always looking for moments when He can speak most deeply and assuredly to those who will listen. And God found out a long time ago that sometimes we will listen more carefully and more prayerfully than we do at other times. And perhaps it's in the trial of our lives that this is best accomplished. Sometimes the measure of our suffering becomes the measure of our comfort. Sometimes the measure of our blindness can be illuminated by a greater measure of insight, personal insight and understanding. And this is God at work in the human heart, measuring and trying the heart. And help us understand that darkness can ironically become the means of our discovering greater and more relevant light. Indeed, this is God's grace at work under the worst possible circumstances of our lives, and in the process, actually doing wonderful and unimaginable things for us and within us and perhaps even through us. Here's a prayer that I want you to take with you today. Lord, during these difficult days, provide for me a new awakening about myself. Lead me into a greater period of self-understanding. Listen to Job chapter 12, verse number 22. He reveals mysteries. Listen carefully. He reveals mysteries from the darkness and brings the deep darkness into light. There are mysteries, as Job said, in the darkness. That is to say, when we go into darkness and when we go into the problematic times of our lives, there are things that we will see, things that we will understand, things that we will comprehend that we would have never seen in the light. Job called it mysteries in the darkness. When we recognize that God is in the storm, we fear the storm much less and rejoice not in the calamity. Take no pleasure in the storm, but rather we rejoice in the growth that it can bring into our lives. As difficult as that feels, and as difficult as that is, it is absolutely true. Job speaks to us again. He said, "Behold, I go forward, and he," that is God, "is not there, and backward, and I cannot see him. When he acts on the left, I cannot see him. And I turn to the right, I still cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot held steadfast to his path, Job said. I have kept his word and not turned aside. Some very interesting points of examination come out of this brief statement. First of all, Job said, I can't always see God. I can't see him in everything. Now, I may have a faith that says he is there, and I may turn to the right hand, to the left hand, and I can look behind me, and I can look in front of him, and I still don't see him. But Job said, God always sees us. You see, the contrast Job has made is that in the storm, I may not see God before me, behind me, to my right or to my left, but he knows the way that I take. I want to assure you that when you can't see God, God sees you. He is fully aware. And Job went ahead to say, when we cannot see or understand our environment and what's happening around us, that still will not shake us. For two reasons. Number one, Job recognized that in difficult times, God is testing, to use his word, trying. The Hebrew word there means to prove or to examine or to test. And that helped Job go forward. It helped him to understand that in the most difficult times, God was testing him. And secondly, we note that Job said, we become better in the process. Job said, the tough times in life make me golden. Though he tries me, though he proves me, and he tests me, he said, Job said, I won't quit, I won't stop, I won't give in, I won't give up, because God is making me golden. He's making me better. Again, I say to you that God will not waste a pandemic. He will not waste this dark hour in all of our lives. He tries us. He examines us for the purpose of searching out and proving within us the essential qualities of our lives. David also recognized this insightful work that God does in the human heart. He wrote, the righteousness of God tries. Again, there's that word, that uncomfortable word. He tries the heart and minds. David said that God in his righteousness, or God in his holiness, interacts positively and purposefully with the discomfort and even the dirt within our lives. It's important to remind ourselves that this searching is not an arbitrary act for God's own curiosity, just to see how we respond under pressure and duress. As a matter of fact, God already knows that. He knows how you will respond tomorrow before the sun rises in the morning. He knows that, but he wants us to understand. When God tries the heart in hardship, he actually begins a sacred conversation with our lives. I've already said that quite often we hear more closely, more carefully, and more prayerfully in difficult times than we do in good times. God has begun a conversation in your life. His Spirit is always close at hand to help us understand ourselves and even to understand others as the battle rages. He wants us to know His voice, and He wants us to know that His voice can be and should be heard above the battle. We listen, we learn, we adapt, and become better people, and better manage the issues and the challenges of our lives. The pain often precedes the promise. He leads us into self-revelation and understanding for our benefit. This is how we become better and more productive as individuals in a variety of circumstances. Finally, there's another point of understanding, and that is that in harsh times, we can become a source or an opportunity for the unfolding of love and fresh compassion upon the lives of other people. During these difficult times, we have all missed the presence of those that we love. Now we have Zoomed and messaged and texted, but we cannot touch, we cannot embrace. When we can't see another person face to face, person to person, and ask, "How are you?" or to say to them, "I love you," something very vital, something very powerful is lost. Something wilts inside when we lose warm conversations, the chance to talk about life, the church, family, politics, and even our trials. And I hope, I prayerfully hope, to never again take these small and larger expressions of love and concern for granted when better times arrive. And I hope you feel the same way. These refreshed feelings of love and commitment can become a new basis for reconnecting when this is all over, reconnecting heart to heart, spirit to spirit, with one another. There is actually a term for this process. The psychologists call it post-traumatic growth. And it refers to the benefit and personal growth that comes through experiencing a crisis. Some have called it the Phoenix phenomenon, rising from the crushing ashes of a bitter experience, suggesting that a new life, new emotions, new commitments can rise from an old way of being. Research has actually shown that up to 70% of people experience positive emotional, spiritual, and psychological growth during difficult times. And there are so many good things that can begin to blossom within our lives during a hardship. For example, a deeper sense of self-purpose. I'm reminded of David, the king of Israel, obviously ordained and blessed by God to become king of this special people. But the Bible tells us that in the early days of David, the more successful he was, the more irate and negative and hateful Saul became, so much so that David had to flee for his life. The Psalms are a testament to both the anguish and sometimes the anger that David felt during those times, but they also testify to that deepening sense of self-purpose that David had within his life. He did not allow the tragedy to triumph over the truth of who he was. The Bible tells us, for example, in the cave of Adullam, that while there he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That sense of self-purpose never waned with David. As a matter of fact, as times became more desperate and more harsh, David seems to have just become more devoted to the purpose and the meaning and the will of God for his life. Also out of harsh times, there can come an increased capacity for altruism. The experience of loss and suffering often sensitizes us to the loss of others, the needs of others. I have seen it in our church. Maranatha Messengers are a good example, where the people that work there have reached out, and their capacity for altruism has continued to go forward. The experience of loss and suffering sensitizing and pushing us into a sense of serving and helping others. Empathy and a desire to act for the greater good become accentuated. Jesus said it this way: however you want people to treat you, so treat them, Luke 7 and 12. They would want you to be there for them, Jesus said. So these people have been there for us. Our leaders, our pastors, our first responders across America, and not just America, but throughout the world, have been there for all of us during the last 6 or 7 weeks. Medical professionals. I have, like many people, I have never admired them, appreciated, or loved them any more than I have over the past weeks. And to those people in our church and other churches, and whether you attend a church or not, you are respected, you are loved, as you have wanted people to do for you, you have done for them. Our essential workers, as they have come to be called, in food services and in the service industries in general, have been there for us. They would want you there for them. We need to be there for them as they are there for us. Facing an obstacle can become one of life's most glorious moments. It is not said to be easy, but the Bible says it is worth it. Let me conclude this morning with a reading that comes out of Romans chapter 5, where Paul said, through whom also we rejoice, knowing this, that we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. James said something very similar in James chapter 1. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith worketh patience or endurance, and endurance will have its perfect results in you, so that you are perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Notice that both Paul and James said that the difficult processes always have positive outcomes. Patience, endurance, a sense of love, and a sense of hope. And we need to be reminded this morning that hope is not born in passivity, but rather engagement with life. And the darker and the more problematic the engagement, the brighter the hope. And my prayer is that not just today, but through tomorrow, through the next week, and through the weeks that lie ahead, we don't know what is before us, but we do know that in our trials and in our tribulation, there is perseverance and there is hope. And through hope, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And God will deepen things in our lives, our sense of self-purpose, a greater appreciation for life and loved ones, a sense of altruism and empathy, and a desire to act for the greater good. God can birth all of these things and more. Stay faithful. Stay hopeful. Be at peace. Be kind and thoughtful. And once the curtain rises again, we'll be ready to live life in a fuller and a greater measure than ever before. Let's pray. Father, be our strength today. First of all, help us look inside and have more self-understanding. Secondly, help us understand that in harsh times, there can be greater opportunities for the unfolding of love and fresh compassion for other people. Thank you for all of those who have served us, who have helped us, and literally endanger their lives through the things that they do. Keep us in your peace. Keep us in your faith as we move forward in Jesus' name. Amen.